Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. I'm glad that you're with me. We're teaching on how to receive God's best. And I'm now into my fourth week of teaching on this. We have a five-part series that the album, this is a new album entitled How to Receive God's Best. We are now teaching the third lesson out of five in this, and we're talking specifically about what the blessing of God is. And I've already covered a lot of material. I really wish that everybody would get the teaching, because when you break it up into these little segments, I just get a point made. I'm beginning to amplify on it, and I run out of time. And so today, when I start this lesson, if you've missed the previous teachings, you know what? There's some very important things I've said that you really need to get. And so please get hold of these materials. It'd be a blessing. But real quickly, I've been saying that the blessing of God is any positive thing, any good thing that He speaks over you. It's spoken divine favor is the most concise way that I can say that. That's the blessing of God. And all of His blessings are recorded in this Bible. And so I started in the book of Genesis and showed how He spoke the worlds into existence. And then when He created the animal creation and the human creation, He blessed us saying, every time God releases a blessing, His favor, it's always spoken. That's how He created things. That's how He creates the blessing in your life, is by speaking it. And I went through and showed that even after the destruction of the earth by a flood, He blessed Noah and said certain things over him and released these positive things, that he would be fruitful and multiply, that every beast of the field would be afraid of him. His fear and dread would be upon them. And God spoke these positive things. And to this day, here we are thousands and thousands of years later, animals are still afraid of mankind because of the power in those words. Then we begin to take the life of Abraham and show how that God said, I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. And right after this, Abraham went into Egypt and actually did something that was wrong. He allowed Pharaoh to take his wife into his harem because he was afraid that they would kill him in order to get to his wife. So he allowed this to happen. And he not only allowed Pharaoh to take Sarah as his wife, but he received lots of gold and silver and servants and animals and all of these things. In a sense, I don't mean this to be bad, I'm just trying to present it the way it is, but in a sense, he pimped his wife. He got paid by Pharaoh for giving his wife to Pharaoh. Any way you slice that, that's wrong. Abram was wrong, and yet who got rebuked? Not the guy who was in the wrong, but Pharaoh. You know why? Because God had already spoken a blessing over him that says, I will bless whoever blesses you and curse whoever curses you. And this is one of the great things that you can learn out of the blessing, is that God doesn't bless us because we are perfect, because we do everything correctly. God's never had anybody qualified to bless yet. It's all by grace that He does this. And if you'll just embrace it and by faith receive it and begin to start speaking forth the blessing of God over your life, you can be blessed even when everything isn't right in your life. Well, that is a powerful truth. Then in the 13th chapter of Genesis, Abraham and his nephew Lot were so prosperous they had to split. And Abram, by this time, really believed that God was with him and God did whatever he set his hand to prosper. So much so that he went to the desert and gave his nephew all of the fertile ground. You know, that's amazing. And to me, this is kind of a subtle thing. Sometimes people miss this when they read it, but I've thought about this a lot. And I've done this in my own life. When there is opportunity, you know, and you're vying for position, you're trying to succeed and stuff, and you're in competition with somebody else, the average person will sit there and stab them in the back trying to get whatever advantage they can get over this person. But a blessed person will let other people go ahead. If you are a salesman, you'll give them the best route. You'll do whatever because God's favor on you and you know you're going to prosper. Give me the bad section and I'll prosper. I've actually done this before. I've had people, I said, look, you go ahead and you take the advantage and I'll prosper because God's with me. I know that that's why I do it is because I believe that God's blessing is on me, and I believe that's why Abram did it. That is a powerful testimony to me. And after he did that and put his faith in God, God just said, I'm going to bless you even more. I'm going to give you this land, walk up and down in it. Then in the 14th chapter of the book of Genesis is where Abraham's nephew, Lot, he went down into Sodom and Gomorrah. And those kings were over, there was a total of 5 kings in that area of Sodom and Gomorrah. And 4 kings came from the land of Syria, and they came and they overcame them and took them captive. And so Lot and his family and all of his goods and everything was taken captive by these other kings. And so Abram took all of the servants that were trained for war in his house, ones that had been born unto him. And here in Genesis chapter 14 and in verse 14, it says, when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants born in his own house, 318, and pursued after them. Now, this gives you some indication of how prosperous he was, because he had 318 servants who were trained to fight. Now, this doesn't include the children. This doesn't include the old men. There were women. You know, this is an indication that he had well over 1,000 servants or slaves at this time. He was a very prosperous man in all of his goods. He went down and he overcame these 4 kings, and he gathered back all of the spoil. There wasn't a single person that was killed. There wasn't any spoil that was destroyed. He not only got back everything that Sodom and Gomorrah had lost, but he got all of the spoil of the people who came and overcame them. And so it doesn't tell us the exact amount, but I am sure that this was like millions and millions of dollars worth of booty. And when he came back, the king of Sodom in verse 21 said unto Abram, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. And Abram said unto the king of Sodom, I have lifted up my hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest you should say, I have made Abram rich. Man, now that's powerful. And again, this is another indication that Abram had really believed the favor that God spoke over him and how God said he would bless him and make his name great. And he was trusting God, and he didn't want anybody to take credit for his prosperity other than God. And so he had millions of dollars worth of booty that rightfully were his. They were his by conquest. He was the one that fought the battle. He's the one that got the spoil. And the king of Sodom agreed. And he says, if you'll just give us back our people, you can take all of our goods, all of our spoil, all of the spoil from the people who defeated us. And you know what? That was really Abram's by right. And yet Abram said, I'm not taking even a shoestring from anybody so that nobody can say that they are the one that made me rich. Boy, that's powerful. And that shows, see, that his trust was really in God. He believed the blessing. How many of you, if you had millions of dollars come to you that you could have taken and nobody would have criticized you, but it was coming through some person, how many of you would just turn these millions of dollars down and say, no, I'm going to receive it through God alone? I don't have to compromise. I don't have to take a shortcut. God is prospering me, and I don't need this. There's not very many people, see, that believe in the blessing of God on their life that strongly. You know, I am not saying here that I'm a perfect example. I'm not trying to present that. But I can say that I've done the same thing that Abram did right here. Like, there was a time in our ministry where I needed money badly. And I was believing God for some money. And I had some people come across my path who were professionals at writing letters. And they had just written a letter for another minister. I won't tell you who it was. And they raised him $22 million through one letter that they wrote. And they came to me. And my ministry was much, much smaller at that time. And they said, we can guarantee you $1 million. You let us write this letter, and if you don't get $1 million, we'll pay you that. Man, that sounded really good. And so I said, come ahead on. And I met with a bunch of them, and they began to start showing me what they would do. And they had it down to the color of ink and how many times you underlined something and whether you put brackets in the thing. And they had certain colors made people feel compassion. Other colors made people angry. Other people motivated. Other colors motivated people to give. It was like a Madison Avenue marketing type of thing. And they were giving me all of this stuff. And they showed me pictures of babies in Africa with their bellies swollen and flies crawling all over their face and malnourished and stuff. And they were going to say that we had an orphanage and do all this. And I said, but I don't have an orphanage. I said, I don't do that. And I said, I can't send that out. And they said, well, the guy that we raised $22 million for, he didn't have it either. But it says, if you just let us put it in here, people will give. This is what makes people give. And I said, this is crooked. I would be lying. And they said, do you want the money or not? And I said, no. I said, I don't need to compromise. I don't need to do what you're doing. And I kicked them all out. And I had had to pay for their plane fare and stuff. And I said, you just keep whatever I've already given you, but I'm not giving you anything else. And I said, I will not lie to people and present something like that. And I ran them all out. You know what? That's what Abram did right here. He's saying, I'm not taking a compromise. I will not take anything because God is my source. See, that's a person who knows that they're blessed. And I'm not saying this to condemn any person, but there are people watching this program right now that you have desires. And nearly every time we have desires and goals and stuff, money is involved. And there are many of you that are desperate to receive money and to receive things so that you can accomplish the thing, maybe even a God desire that God has given you. And there are some of you watching that if somebody offered you a compromise, if they were to give you money and if there was something that was wrong with it, if it was tainted some way or another, there are some of you that would cave. You figure that the end justifies the means. And you would compromise and do whatever. I tell you what, compromise is a language of the devil. Whatever you compromise to get, you're going to have to compromise to keep. You know what? I kicked those guys out and refused it, and now God has given me much more money than what they could have ever generated. And I've got it, and I've got a clear conscience, and I sleep good at night. And I have reached my goals, and I'm reaching my goals, and things are working, and I didn't have to compromise. You do not compromise. Man, this is important that you understand that God is your source, that God has spoken favor over you. And Abram understood this. Abram understood it. And right after he did this and basically gave away millions, the equivalent of millions of dollars worth of booty, it says in chapter 15, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Man, that's powerful. He didn't say, I'll just provide you a shield. No, I am your shield. That means for anything to get to Abram, it had to go through God first. God was there to filter out everything bad and only let the good things come unto Abram. Boy, what a powerful thing. And it's all because, see, he wouldn't compromise. He wouldn't change. There are people watching this program that, again, I really feel like the Lord's trying to drive this point home, that there are some of you that want to prosper in your business. And you know what? You might skew the books a little bit, cook the books so that you don't have to pay as much taxes. And I'm not saying that we pay more than what is legal for us to discount, but there are people that will sit there and cheat and misrepresent things, take money under the counter and not record it, and that way you don't have to pay taxes on it. It doesn't show. Yep, I'm talking to you. Amen. There are some of you that just feel like this is God. It is God. There are some of you, see, that you, instead of doing what Abraham doing and cooperating and making God your source and operating in integrity, you are taking shortcuts and you're somehow or another justifying it. The end justifies the means. That's not true. You need to get integrity. And because Abraham did that right after this, the very next verse, God says, fear not, Abraham. I am your shield and I am your exceeding great reward. There are some of you that the reason Satan is able to penetrate and do some of the things to you is because you have dropped your shield of faith. You aren't operating in faith. You're operating in fear. You're compromising. You're doing things that aren't integrity. And because of it, Satan has access to you. But if you would do the right thing, God becomes your shield and your exceeding great reward. And it goes on in this 15th chapter to talk about the Lord saying that, Abraham, go out and count the stars in the sky or the grains of sand on the seashore. And if you can count all of these stars and all of these grains of sand, so shall your seed be. Now, God had told him that he would have children. And at this time, he had none. He had told him that he would inherit a nation. And he had given him vague outlines, but this is much more specific, saying that the children were going to be so numerous, it'd be like the stars in the sky or the grains of sand on the seashore. And blessed him and increased the blessing because he was more dependent. He was believing God. And because of that, then the Lord counted it unto him for righteousness. In verse 6, he believed in the Lord and he counted it unto him for righteousness. This is quoted in Romans a number of places in the New Testament. This is one of the pivotal scriptures of the Old Testament. Abraham was counted righteous before he received the sign of circumcision, I think, which took place in the 17th chapter of Genesis. Before he had done all of these other things, he was counted righteousness by faith, not because of his actions. And this is a scripture that the entire Bible hinges on. This is where God began this covenant of faith righteousness instead of works righteousness. Boy, this is super important. And then right after this, to confirm it, he had Abraham take all of these animals and cut them in two, kill them, slice them in two, and put them over against each other. And what this is about is that this is the way people made blood covenant in the Old Testament. They would kill an animal, and then the people would walk through the pieces of this sacrifice, walk through the blood, and by doing that, they were now in blood covenant with each other. So the Lord had Abraham take these animals and separate them and put them over there, but Abram had to wait for a long time. It doesn't say exactly, but he killed them. And until the setting of the sun, he had to drive all of the birds away that were trying to feed on these animals that he had killed. And you know, this is a great symbolism. Because see, Abraham was believing God. And because of it, God was entering into a covenant and had him take these things. And this was a holy sacrifice. These weren't just animals that he was killing. It was a sacrificial animal. And yet to the birds of the air, it was just carrion. It was just a body. They were there ready to eat and consume the body. And Abram had to get up and drive the animals away. In other words, you know what? Things that are holy to you, that are covenant between you and God, other people, other things don't appreciate it and don't put the value on it that you do. And you have to drive all of these people that don't place the same value on this sacrifice that you do. You have to drive them away, and you cannot let them pick at and tear apart what you have dedicated and consecrated to the Lord. You know, when I got turned on to the Lord and I had this experience with the Lord, March the 23rd, 1968, and it just changed my life. There was a number of people that were there in that prayer meeting. And yet it didn't impact them the way that it impacted me. God spoke directly to me. God touched me. And that is a holy place. That is a holy thing that God did in my life. And yet other people that were right there and were experienced it and they knew something had happened. I've had some of them come back and say, that was all emotion. You know, that wasn't God. That was just our emotions. It was this. And there's other people that don't value what God has done in my life the way that I do. And in a sense, I can't blame them. You can't get mad at these birds that were trying to feed on these carcasses because that's what those birds of prey did. But nonetheless, you have to drive them away. You can't let their devaluation of the things that are holy to you stand. And so Abram got up and drove all of these animals away. And then around sunset, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. This is the same words, same terminology in the Hebrew that was used for Adam when God put him to sleep and took a rib out of him and made the woman. And this deep sleep came upon Abram, and a smoking furnace and a burning flax passed through these pieces. What I believe was happening, normally both people who were entering into the covenant would pass between the pieces, and they were equally obligated to the covenant. You know, if I cut a covenant with you, everything you have is mine and everything I have is yours, and we're both responsible for this. But he put Abram to sleep and he passed through the pieces, which I believe shows that this was an unequal covenant. In other words, Abram, even though you aren't going to do everything right, even though you aren't perfect, I'm swearing by myself, I'm entering into a blood covenant with you that I have blessed you. Your children are going to be so numerous you won't be able to count them. And through you, all nations of the earth will be blessed. That was a prophecy about the coming of the Messiah. And he made this covenant, put Abraham to sleep because it wasn't going to be dependent upon his goodness and his holiness. He did this based on himself, and he walked between these pieces and entered into a blood covenant with Abraham and established faith as the only way to really have a relationship with God. And then it says over in the book of Galatians, it says the law, which was 430 years after, which is talking about during the time of Moses. That was 430 years to the day after this instance recorded in Genesis 15:6. And 430 years later, it says that law could not disannul this first covenant. This is the first covenant. It has precedent, priority, just by virtue of the fact that it was the first covenant. It was the one that was originally cut. And we enter into this covenant, a covenant based on God and what He's going to do, not what we do. And Jesus is the one that he brought all this through. And through our faith in Jesus, we now have become an heir of God. The things that happened right here to Abram, all of this applies to us. You know, if it hadn't been for the promises, these blessings that God spoke over Abram, that through you I'm going to send a seed, and through that seed, all nations of the earth will be blessed. That was talking about that salvation would pass from just the Jewish nation into the entire human race. These things are essential to what God did to us. And then in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13, it says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. These blessings that we've been reading about that came unto Abram, they are now ours. Abraham's blessings are ours through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of the curses, all of the things that were spoken negatively are gone, and all that's left is the blessings for us. Man, there's a lot more to share on this, and I will continue on our program tomorrow. Today is going to be my last day, though, to offer you this third teaching in our five-part set. This third teaching is called The Blessing of God. It is a gift to you if you would like it free of charge. Today will be our last day to make that offer. We'll continue to offer the entire set. Listen to our announcer and call or write today.
Andrew's complete teaching titled How to Receive God's Best was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD. Or if you prefer, you can get the DVD as seen on TV. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify CD, DVD, or DVD as seen on TV when you contact us. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The third audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this third CD titled The Blessing of God, free of charge.
Let me remind you that today is my last day to offer you the third teaching in this 5-part album as our gift to you. And I also need to explain, there's many new viewers that we have, and we offer our albums, our books and videos and things like this for a donation of any amount. We will put a suggested amount on there for people who want to know what it is to give, but we send it out to people whether they give a certain amount or not. But we do ask for some donation. But there's some people who could not or would not give anything, and yet they desire the teaching. And so for them, we make our teaching available one at a time. In this 5-part album, you can get each teaching one at a time free of charge. Today's my last day to offer you the third teaching in the 5-part set. So please call or write today.
We'd also like to remind you that we're offering Andrew's latest book titled Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
I've never had such good teaching, and I have been to Bible schools, Bible colleges. I graduated from a Christian high school. Nobody teaches like these here. You know why? Because they teach you to know Jesus.
Charis Bible College has been making disciples and changing lives since 1994. And we've outgrown our Colorado Springs facility. Phase one of our new Woodland Park CBC campus has been fully funded and completed. And phase two of the project is gearing up right now. Andrew and Jamie would like to give you the opportunity to join hands with them by becoming a foundation builder and contributing financially toward building the lives of CBC world changers. You can get more information by calling, writing, or logging on to awmi.net/partnership. Invest yourself in Andrew Womack Ministries and Charis Bible College today. Change your life. Change the world.
My dad was a Southern Baptist preacher, and he committed suicide when I was 5 years old. And I didn't really understand his death at the time, but I know I kind of got mad at God. Got really mad at God, actually. I decided that I was going to run from God, and I was never going to let anybody have that much control to hurt me that much ever again.
If God's expecting you to bear all things, God Himself will bear all things. If God is expecting you to love, believe at all times, then you know what? God will believe in you at all times, regardless of how many stupid things we do.
Log on to awmi.net. Look to the left. Click on Healing Testimonies. And take a healing journey with Carol Odenwald.